Episode 384, October 1st, 2018.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
F***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
All right, so if you're a big fan of the Rob and Joe show, this has been the episode that everyone has been waiting for. No Rob. I say everyone's waiting for. Actually, probably only Captain Cupcake. By the way, do you know, Robbie, who classic Robin Joe is? Do you know who that is?
I don't know. Do you know?
I just assume it's Captain Cupcake. This Twitter, you know, group or whatever that's dedicated, I guess, that I thought was a tribute, you know, or an homage to the Robin Joe show, it started attacking me and I had to fucking unfriend it. So I unfollowed and I muted him. What I really wanted him to do is just have him not show up on my timeline, but I didn't know how to do that. So one thing I do want to talk about, Robbie, is I'm a little upset with you. I sent you a text on Saturday at 5:14 of something that Katie wrote on Facebook. And
Yes. And
it's just right up your alley. I know it's something that you love. Just the meanest thing that you could write to somebody.
Yes, I did enjoy it.
But no response. So let me.
I know. I've just been very busy, Joe. I'm sorry. I did not reply to your tweet.
All right. It wasn't my tweet.
I mean text.
But here's what it was. It was Chris Restivo holding his, I guess, former dog. I guess it's dead now.
R.I.P.
It says, miss my boy. And it's kind of funny because he has the live dog in his hand, but he's sad. Well, why is he sad when it's around?
He knew what was going to happen.
Oh, okay. I thought he was sad that he had this ugly-ass dog. Anyway, the point is, it's a picture of Chris. He's got a sad face. He's holding his dog, and it says, miss my boy. I assume that dog's no longer alive. Katie then messages underneath of that.
Comments,
that's it. It's cool. At least he wasn't here to see the Vikings lose to the Bills. Man, I thought that was particularly harsh. I was proud of her.
I don't think it was that bad.
By the way, Katie Push is joining me, my fiance.
Am I like the 98 Rock Joe Robinson? I'm like the official fill-in?
Yes.
Of the Rob and Joe show?
Yes.
I know it's a convenience thing, but I don't mind.
No, you're good at it too. What, Mara Rheinstein was supposed to be on the show today.
Correct.
And what was the excuse she gave? It sounds not legit.
No, I talked to her significantly on the topic, and Warner Brothers actually contacted her on Friday and wanted her to come and preview a movie. She doesn't.
So?
Well, you know,
I'm just kidding.
She's
obviously Warner Brothers is a little bigger. And,
guys, come on. 15 minutes about naming the show.
Sorry, that was not intentional. I just was switching pages. Anyway.
The hell was that?
What was I saying? Oh, so she sent a message through Twitter to me. The little thing that pops up that says you have a message, I didn't see it. So I never saw the message. When I texted her earlier today to confirm, she said, no, I'm sorry, I got a screening. I said, well, what about next Monday? Can we reschedule? She goes, well, I've got another screening. So, but she wants to do it, but she like wanted to come on and do it at 8:30. I'm like, well.
Ask her what movie she's screening. Will you do that?
I asked her, but she apparently didn't know. Warner Brothers just asked her to show up. You know, they wanted to see this movie in advance. She didn't know the name of it or anything.
Is it Night School?
She already reviewed that.
Did she like it?
No.
Yeah.
It is. I feel kind of bad because, of course, Rob Mayer, co-host of this show, has a professional relationship with someone in that movie. And so it's difficult for us to be kind of objective because, you know, I mean, you can say nothing, but, you know, well, there's some skin in the game. But I did make a bet with Tommy Cimbazzo about the Rotten Tomatoes score for that movie, and I actually lost. It's actually above where I thought that it was going to be. It's currently at 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. So I guess we're not going to see that, Katie?
I am not seeing that, no.
Marcus, are you going to go see it?
Marcus already said he's going to see A Star Is Born to help cancer. Is that right, Marcus?
That's right. Yeah, the radio station I work for is doing a fundraiser for premiere night, Thursday night, to see A Star Is Born.
I just want to take another look at you.
Katie and I will be seeing that opening weekend. We're also going to see...
That's on Thursday.
Yep. We're also going to... You want to see it Thursday?
Yeah.
All right. So we'll see that Thursday, and then we're going to go see Venom as well.
Yes.
Venom is... I look forward to that one this weekend, too. Maybe we can have some...
dialogue?
Whatever.
Yeah. Talk?
Reviews.
All right. We'll do it. You know what, Marcus? I'm going to give you my review real time of both movies, all right?
Marcus, when Joe had his night show on 98 Rock, do you know what premiere we did?
What?
Joe?
I do. We did The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's something else. That we saw that movie in the theater. Were you there, Robbie? I didn't remember that.
Yes, I was there.
And that was the thing I remember the most about that is when the trailers were playing. They showed about 19 trailers. And when the 18th started, T-Rex, great comedian, Todd Rex, in the back goes, really? And the whole crowd cracked up. But also debuting that night, do you remember what other movie? There were other people going to see another movie that debuted.
Yes, I do remember there's a big excitement for another movie, but I do not remember what it was.
It was the original Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia, yeah.
Whose sequel came out this year.
It got great reviews.
10 years in between Mamma Mia sequels. Mamma Mia and its sequel were 10 years apart.
I think so were The Incredibles, aren't they?
I think more than that, yeah. The Incredibles. Robbie, did you see The Incredibles too?
I have not seen it yet. It's on my list.
It's awesome.
That surprises me because you, The Incredibles is your favorite Pixar, correct?
It is.
I know you love Toy Story 3. It's better than Toy Story 3?
I personally love the story and everything of The Incredibles. It's more up my alley. But Toy Story 3 is a masterpiece.
Okay, well...
So it's the difference between Back to the Future and Citizen Kane.
Did you hear about Toy Story 4?
When's that coming out?
I don't know, but apparently Tim Allen could not get... Is that Tim Allen?
Mm-hmm.
Who I thought was dead. could not get through one of the scenes.
What do you mean? Because he was
like,
crying?
He was crying too much. He couldn't get through it for a while. He was finally able to compose himself.
Seriously?
Yeah.
And also, Rickles died before they were able to get his voice. So somebody's going to have to do an impression.
Chris Restivo could do it.
Are they going to just a completely different direction?
I think I heard that somebody is going to be doing a Don Rickles type of voice.
What's he, Mr. Potato Head?
Yes.
Well, you can literally go on IMDb right now and Google and put in the Toy Story 4 IMDb and see who's playing Mr. Potato Head. I'm looking at the computer screen that we share, and I don't see that happening. All right, no big deal. Can I say one thing about Don Rickles? I know I'm the only one in the world. I think he's overrated. No comment, Robbie?
I was looking up Toy Story 4.
What Katie's going to say. Can I predict what you're going to say?
I'm not going to say who's Don Rickles.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Who Don Rickles is, but that would be something I would say.
All right, here we go. Toy Story 4, which is coming out next year. Robbie clicking on it slowly.
You scroll down, and I'm going to tell you something.
All right.
So I think it was Norm Macdonald that said there's no such thing as improv, true improv in comedy, because you always have some sort of direction you're going to go. He said Rickles is the only true improvisationalist. Anyway, you know he was improvising because nothing he said made any fucking sense.
That's just it. So what it says on here is Mrs. Potato Head, who, of course, is George Costanza's mom. No, there is no... Mr. Potato Head. Now, maybe there is, but for now, and it looks like this thing, I mean, they already have a premiere date.
Maybe
so.
The storyline is that he died. She's now a widow.
Well, don't ruin it.
I don't know. It's my guess.
That's why Tim Allen was crying.
Well, I thought Tim Allen died, so. Do we want to talk about what we did this weekend? Because it was kind of an interesting weekend.
So, Katie and I go to the haunted house every year, but we don't go, we go to the legit ones. We're driving usually an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually, enjoy something to make us feel incredibly good while we're going through these these haunted houses. But we went to Field of Screams, and we've been to, what's up, Frightland? Where have we gone?
Frightland in Delaware, yeah. This one was in Mountville, PA, near Lancaster.
Now, we've always heard that, I guess, that Frightland is supposed to be the best one.
Frightland's a good one, yeah.
I thought this one was better.
You know what? Frightland has all those rides and things like that. Maybe that's why.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you guys okay? How would you feel about people touching you, physically touching you as you went by?
I would not like it.
Okay.
They're not just touching you.
Yeah.
They're bear hugging you, pulling your hair. They're crawling around on the ground that you can't see below you and grabbing your legs, like making you trip and fall. I mean, it's like intense.
They were legit bullying. Okay, the very first thing that we went through, I don't remember what it was called. You might remember.
The Zombie Wasteland.
Yes. A great song by The Who.
Sorry, Nocturnal Wasteland.
There you go. Anyway, so we're going through and there's a couple in front of us, but they're probably in high school, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I mean.
And the guy is very small. And he's being tortured by the help. By the way, the people that work at these places, they do it. They're volunteers. They're like Jeremy Woodworth, where all they want to do is just horrify people. That's their payment to just torture the people that are going through. So I do like to be scared. Obviously, there's a reason that there's thousands of people at this thing in September. We literally went to a haunted house in September. I don't even know if people do that, but.
My neighbors had their Halloween decorations up today.
So we go to the first one, and the guy, the kid in front of me, I think because he's small, I guess if you're big, they're afraid you'll hit them. So this kid is literally being grabbed, and then one time he was trying to go through a room, and this one of these monsters took a stick and shoved it in his ass and pushed him forward.
Yeah.
Like a broomstick. And shoved him out of the room. And I'm like, now, only one time, one of them like tried to scare me, whatever. Now, of course, I'm laughing so hard I can barely breathe. And then he literally grabs me by my shoulders and like starts shaking me backwards. And I'm like, all right, well, this is, I mean, it is in between the line of it's so funny that somebody has the balls to do this. And also, you know, do I need to swing on this guy? I mean, that's literally where you are. Tommy Simbazo was saying he won't go to these things with us because he feels like, you know, he's like a fight or flight kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if somebody does that, he's just going to start, you know, pummeling somebody.
Well, I would go to see that.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Anyway, the point is, we then go to one a little bit later where it's a hayride. And the first thing is there's two kids on the other side. And they're probably like...
Probably 13 and 15 or
yeah, they're not
like that.
They're not like small children. And they're there with their parents, who I think their parents thought this was a good time. These kids are fucking...
No, their parents weren't with them.
Who, those one, that was
no,
the
couple? No, they weren't together.
These kids are miserable. I mean, miserable.
Terrified.
They're terrified and they're miserable. You know, in the hayride, the idea is you're leaning back and they sneak up underneath of it and they yell boo or whatever and get in your face or whatever. Well, these kids are like leaned up almost into the center of this thing so people can't... So these clowns or whatever can't get to them. And this one guy is my favorite thing that's ever happened in a haunted house. This one guy jumps up and he like goes into the nape of his neck and he's like, he starts nuzzling this kid. He does it. He nuzzles this kid. For, I don't want to exaggerate. 30 seconds.
Yeah, easily. And it's also the kid's clearly
not laughing.
He's terrified. And this guy is finding so much pleasure in just this kid is going to be affected by it.
Well, I was hoping that they caught wind of that. Because I didn't know how to tell them, because I think if you kind of try to instruct the monsters, then they start attacking you.
Oh, yeah.
And that's fine, but I want to see this kid tortured, and I want to see his neck nuzzled again by another zombie, but I was never able to experience that again. But just that one, even to video that, I'm telling you, if I were able to video that, I'd be on Ellen right now.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, do you guys still want to talk to Mara Rheinstein?
What, is she available?
She said the movie was short. She's available now.
What the hell? Yeah. Get right, hey, you know what? Let's take a break. Rob and Joe Show, we'll be right back with Mara Rheinstein.
Las Vegas has it all. Lights, gambling, big time action, and on November 3rd, murder. More Broadcasting and Die Laughing Productions presents Back to the 80s, an interactive live comedy whodunit that goes back in time. Saturday, November 3rd at the Council Chambers Theater in the Zappos Corporate Center. Starring 98 Rock's Justin Schlegel, Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak, Eric Woodworth, Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, special guest star Mike O'Mara, and you. Tickets are just $35 and are on sale now at MikeO'MaraShow.com and at DieLaughingProductions.com. That's Back to the 80s. Saturday, November 3rd at 8 o'clock in the Zappos Corporate Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. Murder has never been this funny.
The wait is over. Over.
All right, as promised, we have Us Weekly's Mara Reinstein. Hey, Mara, how you doing?
Hi, guys. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
Oh, I can hear you perfectly. By the way, just so you'll know, a little pull back the curtain for our listeners. Robbie called Mara, and she said, hey, I'm on the subway. I'll be available in 1 minute. So we just start talking around here. Next thing you know, Robbie's calling her again. He must have literally counted it out 60 seconds.
Yeah, I would be so annoyed.
Yeah, I don't want you to think for 2 seconds that that's how we behave. That's him. So, yeah, somebody says 1 minute. We'd like to give you five. We weren't literally waiting the 60 seconds to think. So that's not on us. That's on him.
It's fine. This is New York City. I have minute to minute. It's no problem. I'm off the subway. It's all good.
Literally minute to minute. Now, you almost blew us off today because you went to see a premiere. Or is it a sneak preview?
I saw a sneak preview of a movie. I can't even say what it's called.
Ooh, juicy.
It's not out until 2019, so I can't even say that I was there, but I was there.
Can you tell us if you liked it
yeah.
or not?
I liked it enough. I wasn't like blown away, but I can't really say anything more.
Can you give me a Rotten Tomatoes score?
Oh, God. It would be a very, Rotten Tomatoes is either like fresh or rotten.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a very generous fresh.
Okay.
I guess since they invited you, the least you can do is if it's on the fence. Now,
it doesn't work like that. But,
they must be confident in the movie.
If I gave a rating just because they invited me to something,
Let me just say this then. There are a lot of movies that Katie and I'll see. We're like, like Crazy Rich Asians is a good example. Like, I'm like, it's fine. Everybody's
right.
going crazy. I'm just like, it's fine. Now, if there was a movie, maybe not like Crazy Rich Asians, but it's on the border. Even how you feel that day is going to have an effect on it, right? So I'm just saying that.
It does.
I'm not saying you can be bought. Correct. You got what I'm saying.
I do. And you know what? I feel the same way about Crazy Rich Asians. I thought it was fine also. You kind of graded on a curve, I guess. Because it was a unique movie in a lot of ways, but I thought the movie itself was fine.
It was fine. Right.
Joe cried during it.
Well, yeah, it got me. No, it worked. Yeah. I knew what they were trying to do. It got me a couple times, but my problem is, I think you're going to know what I'm talking about. My problem with that movie is I could see the acting.
Yes.
Yeah. You know exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's good. You can see the acting, and I also just didn't really like the couple. The characters were fine, but I thought the couple themselves, I thought they were doomed. I just didn't like the guy that much. I don't know. It didn't do much for me. What can I say? I thought it was about good enough.
You saw through it.
It wasn't going to be a great thing to see it again.
You saw through it to Crazy Rich Asians 2.
I did.
Can I ask you, because I'm looking at your page, so I have two, it's a two-part question. My first question is... Do you just give it a rating out of 4? Is that how it works? Or how does it work with you in these percentages?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of, Entertainment Weekly does a letter grade score, and some outlets do a 5-star system, but Us Weekly always did 4-star because that's what Rolling Stone did. That's what Jan Wenner wanted, because it was the same owner. Jan Wenner wanted that Rolling Stone's music reviews would be out of 5 and their movie reviews would be out of 4. So Us Weekly just copied the style. So that's why Us Weekly is out of 4 stars. When I write for my site, Mara Movies, it's also out of 4 stars. So it's even.
Got it. So my second part to the question is I'm actually going to read a quote that you wrote for Us Weekly about a movie, and I want to see if Joe can guess the movie.
Oh, cool. All right, do it.
Okay.
All right.
Every moment drips with aching and at times heart-swelling authenticity. The heart-swelling is where the ugly cry kicks in.
Eighth grade?
It is eighth grade.
Yes! God, I'm good.
Joe loved eighth grade.
It was my favorite movie of the year so far, eighth grade.
Me too.
Oh, it is? God, eighth grade is a masterpiece. Yeah, I loved it so much. I was
masterpiece.
Yeah, I was very, very moved by eighth grade. It probably has a lot to do with my own experience. And man, God,
mine too.
Yeah, now clearly it's a girl and I'm a guy, but God, I could relate to a lot of the things that were going on in there, and you just felt so much for the character. What's the name of the lead in that?
Elsie Fisher.
Yeah. So her, and then the kid who put out his archery.
Oh, the chicken nuggets at the end. Oh my God.
They were so great. But I guess I'm worried more about. I mean, is he the male lead? There really was only one lead in the movie, but her I see going on to doing some great things. But I don't see the male lead in that. What else is he going to do? How are they going to find another?
Which male lead are you even talking about?
I see you're supposed to be talking about the dad. I say male lead. There is no other lead.
The love interest.
The love interest. The kid who did the handstand. Oh. The kid who laid out the chicken nugget sauces for her at the end.
I wouldn't necessarily call him a male lead.
Yeah, that was unfair.
A character in that movie. It was really all about her. If you're going to go second lead, the dad,
played
by Josh Hamilton, who's been around for years and years and years. So we'll see.
But my point is that I don't. What else can he do? Where else are you going to put that kid?
Yeah, you never know. But it's an indie movie. You don't know where they plucked them from. You know, it wasn't like, you know, central casting, obviously. But that's okay. And it was really all about her.
But I'm literally, see, so this is why I say this. It's almost like I'm rooting so much for the characters in this movie that the people that play that character take on that role for me. You know what I mean? And then I want them to have success because of what that meant to me. And so when I look at, all right, well, what's there for this person? What's there for this person? And you're like, oh, that poor kid. He's going to say, oh, I remember that kid from that movie 20 years ago.
He'll be okay. I feel like he'll be all right. Don't worry about the kids. He's great.
Should we talk about the movie?
The Elephant in the Room?
The Elephant in the Room.
Sure.
So we know you saw A Star is Born. And before you say anything about that movie, there's been a big argument about that movie between myself and Katie and Robbie, the producer. So what happened was... we can't wait to see A Star is Born. Obviously they're doing enough to try to push this movie that it's hard to kind of get away from it. But we are very excited. We like Bradley Cooper. We love Lady Gaga. Obviously it looks like, I'm sure it looks a little sentimental, but it looks like something we can't wait to see. Now, when Robbie said you were coming on the show, he said something to the effect of, he's going to correct me, but he's like, hey, bring her on. You can talk about these shit movies that are coming out or whatever.
He said something like, we'll talk to Mara Reinstein. Maybe she's seen A Star is Born. And then he wrote ... It looks awful.
Yeah. And we were like, Robbie, it looks incredible. It looks so good. And I will say we already looked at your Rotten Tomatoes score and saw it was given a fresh tomato. So, I always feel vindicated. Yeah. You're the barometer.
But everybody likes the movie.
Yeah. Tell us about this movie.
Almost to a fault.
A Star is Born. Yeah. It's definitely not awful movie. It's a good movie. It's a very good movie. I think it's being a little bit overhyped in the sense that it's still A Star is Born, which is to say it's familiar. It's a story that's been around since the 1930s. So Bradley Cooper isn't doing that much aside from bringing it into 2018, the story. But the story is essentially the same. And it's a good melodramatic, emotional story. And if you're into that sort of thing, you're really going to like it.
I am into that kind of thing.
Yeah, we're going to see it this week. We're actually going to see it Thursday night. We're going to see it on opening night. That's how excited we are about
it. Okay,
good. Would you agree with me, Mara, that the trailer, the way they're promoting the movie, makes it look silly?
No, I don't think that.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The trailer is really good for this movie.
I'm telling you what, the 30-second trailer that I saw... First of all, that thing, that affect that Bradley Cooper's putting on is annoying in that short.
Oh, my God.
You get used to it.
Okay, that's what I assume you must, because people are loving the movie.
Yeah.
And then Lady Gaga, I saw her in American Horror Story, which she was awful in. So I don't have confidence in her acting ability.
You say, was she awful in it, Mara?
She's not. Lady Gaga's playing a pop singer. I mean, it's not.
I understand.
Really,
I haven't seen the movie. I'm only going on the trailer and what I know of Lady Gaga's acting. And then,
and well, let me stop.
My last thing, let me just say, Mara. Right. My last thing is, it just reeks of, please, it's time for me to get you to give me a directing Oscar. It's Oscar time. It's award season. Please,
Oscar
this
time.
Movie is for award season. It just reeks of that.
I don't know. It's not really.
Isn't it every?
There is a little bit of that. I agree. I think he probably will get that nomination for Best Director. I don't think he's going to win. In fact, I know he will not win. I've seen better directed movies this year that are coming out in the months to come. But yeah, everything that you're saying is true. But it's still like a highly watchable movie with fantastic music in it.
I believe that.
A lot of people will like that.
Have you seen this new Redford project?
I have seen it, yes.
Well, tell us.
The Old Man and the Gun, supposedly his last movie, a great last movie to go out on.
Oh, it's good.
And it's a sort of a like a cops and robber movie with a wink. It's kind of a loose comedy. Only 90 minutes long and kind of delightful. I definitely recommend it.
Will he win the Oscar?
No.
Well, hold on a second. Don't be so fast. Does he have an Oscar?
He does not have an Oscar for acting.
For acting, no.
Oh, okay.
He has one for directing and producing Ordinary People.
Correct. But he did not direct this movie.
Well, no. My
he
point
did not
is,
direct it.
My point is that, you know, sometimes, you know, Paul Newman wins an Oscar for The Color of Money,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, sometimes they try to make good on whatever it is that they had screwed up historically. But if he has an Oscar, they're not going to feel like they owe him. I will say that we were trying to go to a movie this weekend, and we couldn't find anything to watch because Katie wouldn't go see that movie.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, it's a fun movie. I mean, it's definitely, you know, it's him and Sissy Spacek and Casey Affleck, and it's Danny Glover. It's a good cast, and I thought it was very enjoyable. I saw it at the Telluride Film Festival, and it's not like this drawn-out drama about a man at a crossroads in his life or anything like that. It's kind of, it's a movie with, like, a wink in its eye.
Now, we just read that Toy Story 4 is coming out. And we're interested.
Yeah.
We just talked about this before you came on. Can you tell us what the best Pixar movie is?
The best Pixar movie? Wow. You know, I really loved, it's kind of a trick question.
Cars 2?
The first 5 minutes of Up are probably the best first 5 minutes of every movie, any movie in history.
I don't disagree with that.
But then the rest of the movie just kind of doesn't live up to it. I also really like the original Toy Story, right? Because it started it all, and it was just, you kind of believe what you were watching, and it just was so groundbreaking in so many ways. I also loved Inside Out, which came out a few years ago.
I love that too.
I love the message of Inside Out. So those, I guess, would be my top three.
Coco was surprisingly awesome.
But that's not a Pixar. That's Disney animation.
Oh, I thought that was Pixar. It wasn't? Oh, that's funny because
Coco is not Pixar.
Oh, I can't wait to talk to. We have a another podcaster that we're friends with, J.L. Covan, who cries racism that Coco wasn't more popular because he thinks that the people in Trump's America won't go see this movie because I guess it's of Mexican descent. However, he always compares it to other Pixar movies. It's cool. If it's not another Pixar movie, then his argument falls flat.
I don't think it was a flop, Coco. I think it did just fine for
Yes,
Disney.
It's like one of the top, 100 grossing movies of all time, probably top 60, whatever. So what movie is coming out that we need to see?
Well, you know, I definitely do recommend A Star Is Born. I recommend First Man that's coming out the week after that with Ryan Gosling as Neil Armstrong. After that, into November, you get movies like Widows with Viola Davis and Liam Neeson, which is really good. You get Boy Erased. That's with Nicole Kidman and Russell Crowe and Lucas Hedges.
Wait, what's that one?
It's called Boy Erased.
What's the premise?
And then it's about a parents, like ultra conservative parents, who send their kid
to a
gay conversion camp.
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah, I have seen that.
That's awesome.
And then The Hate U Give, which is based on the young adult best-selling novel from last year, that's coming out in a few. That's also very good. So there are some good ones coming out soon for sure.
Awesome.
The last time I think it was last year or the year before, we said, what movie are you most looking forward to? And you said Molly's Game. What do you end up thinking of it? Yeah, we loved it too. Yeah, we loved it too.
Yeah, I wish it did a little better. I don't think it had great distribution, but I've seen it like several times. I really definitely lived up to the hype for me, Molly's Game.
All right. Well, it's much appreciated. Do you have any more questions for Mara?
No, I'm excited to see these movies.
Yeah, we're going to see all these movies. We'll get back with you. And then
we got the season, guys.
I definitely want to get your top five for the year. And I'll just tell you. Playing that, Robbie. I will tell you what I loved this year. I loved Tully. I loved Eighth Grade. And I loved
A Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place, yeah. And I think those are my three.
We are on the same page here. I loved all three of those movies. I loved Tully, I loved A Quiet Place, and I loved Eighth Grade as well.
All right, well, maybe our top fives will be exactly the same.
Maybe.
I'm sorry you have to go 4 stars. That number's annoying to me, but I get it that it's forced on you. Because you can't get to 60%.
Yeah.
You follow? I like the increments of 20, not increments of 25. Although, you can always get them with the half star, right?
You do. And you know what's funny? My theory is that 90% of movies that I see are 2¾ star. Like,
right.
They're kind of good enough, but not really. And it's just kind of like, do you give it the 3 or the 2.5? Many movies are just, they're fine, you know?
Leonard Maltin's Guide went from 1 to 4, but he added in, there was one you could get below a half star, and it was called Bomb.
What movies did he get Bomb to?
What?
The Leonard Maltin's Guide, which just in the last couple of years they stopped publishing. He would give a half a star, 1 star, 1.5, and so on, up to 4.
Right.
But then he also included a less than a half a star, which was Bomb.
Give us an example of a movie that got.
Well, I have to go get my letter. It's got. I can't remember what.
Don't worry about it.
But one of the Police Academy movies, I'm sure, was a bomb.
What do you
sure.
do? You have a do you have a hero in the critique world?
Do I have a hero? Someone who I read?
No. Who is there? Somebody that influenced you?
I mean, definitely Siskel and Ebert. I watch that show every Sunday religiously. I love their show. I mean, they also were great writers. It's crazy sad that they're both gone, but definitely the best for sure. And it's weird because I know him now, but Peter Travers of Rolling Stone, also always such a great writer. And it's cool that now, you know, I worked in the same office as him for many years, which was very awesome. Cool.
No, I also like Peter Travers, except for every once in a while, he will whiff so hard on a movie that it makes me nuts.
I know, but I just love the way he writes.
Yeah, he's a good writer.
I agree. I don't agree with him a lot, but he just always has a voice to the way he writes, and it's not highfalutin like some other critics, so I do enjoy the way.
No love for Pauline Kael, then?
You know what? Pauline Kael was kind of after my time, so I didn't really read a lot of her. So I kind of like, she's kind of, I kind of like have it, you know, I have to abstain from talking about Pauline Kael because she was like 10 years before I started reading movie reviews. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, you couldn't surf the web back in the day and find her.
No, you couldn't. You have to buy her book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pauline Kael also 20 years before Katie was born.
I have no idea who that is. I do want to say before you leave, I'm going to read Mara Rheinstein's review of Night School.
Yeah. We were talking about
inside joke, but
we were talking about that because, Rob, who does the show, he does stand up often opening for Tiffany Haddish. So we root for her. We root for her vehicles, but then we saw the commercial and it was just Struggle City trying to hope for the best for this movie. But
yeah, not very good.
She says it took 6 male screenwriters to achieve the impossible. Make Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish seem like mere comedy mortals.
Man, oh, you threw male in there. All right, what's your angle there?
It's true.
But the point is that they only hired men and it still wasn't funny.
Ha.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're going to do six, I mean, really? Not one female? Yeah. It's just, it's hard not to, like, make, and it's not an all-male movie. There's plenty of females in there. I mean, listen, Bo Burnham, who's a guy, wrote Eighth Grade. It can be done, but that's an amazing movie. I'm just saying, maybe a female writer could have helped a little bit in there, writing
or,
for Tiffany Haddish's character.
Or maybe a seventh male.
<Perhaps>. <laughs> Hey,
Mara, thank you so much. I really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Anytime, guys. I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, thank you, Mara.
All right, see you, Mara.
Okay, bye.
All right, Rob and Joe Show. We'll be right back.
Gramps here again, reminding all of you who haven't joined Patreon to get on the stick. Every week, you enjoy the upgraded sonic experience listening to Rob and Joe's free shows. Well, that sound equipment doesn't come cheap. So loosen your grip on that fiver. Join the circle of trust. Hear all of the behind-the-scenes mischief and celebrity gossip. Hear Joe discuss being sued by... Hear Robbie detail his affair with... And hear all about how Rob looped... to do a 7-minute set at the Comedy Cellar. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show now, or I'm going to come over to your house and your wife.
Are you ready?
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
All right, we're back. Now, I had some things I wanted to talk about. Did you? Oh, she ripped them off. So, in addition to seeing, going to the haunted house, do you want to know what we did on Saturday night? Would you guys like to venture a guess?
Made love.
Actually, we didn't. Both times we got home, so late that we were too exhausted.
Yeah.
Sorry. I forgot. I already got called out.
Old married couple.
I already got called out by a relative for talking about sex on the air. So
anyway,
hello.
That's the one. We went to Maryland Championship Wrestling
with Justin.
Yeah. And here's what's crazy is Justin is not even like a star in any way. And it blows my freaking mind.
Yeah. There are, I mean, okay. So first of all, you're in it's held in a flea market.
Yeah, it's okay. Legitimately a Joppa Town flea market.
Is it that one we went to, Joe? The one where you did the Antiques Roadshow thing?
That wasn't in Joppa. We wouldn't have gone that far for that. That was much closer to like the Essex area. That, but doesn't matter.
Okay.
So, we go to this thing, and I don't want to exaggerate. How many people? You think there's 1,000 people there? Is that too many?
I think there's between 500 and 700 people there.
Yeah. So that's how many people are here to see this thing. And the tickets are
$20 a person.
$20 a person or four for $15 each.
Yeah, $4 for $60.
$4 for $60. Yeah. So we end up getting that. And four of us, me, Katie, Sean Gabbert, Tommy Simbaza, we all went to go see Justin wrestle.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I had such a good time.
No, it was very, very fun. The people watching is amazing. Okay, so what is the youngest child you think we saw at this thing? And let me start by saying this: it's pretty violent. I mean, if you're real small, you're not going to be able to distinguish between real life and fantasy here.
It's not even the violence; it's how loud it is there.
And then they're blasting. Not only they're blasting music, but it's all heavy metal to death metal. Right?
Yes.
It's a lot of Metallica and up. Okay. What do you think the youngest person we saw at this event?
8-month-old.
No, we saw about a 4-month
three
old.
Or 4 month
three
old.
Or 4 month old. And this guy was carrying this baby, and we see the two speakers on the wall, and we see his path that he's going to walk directly underneath of these speakers, right? And I mean, babies are supposed to wear headphones and be covered in sunblock and wearing, you know, capes and shit.
So uncomfortable.
So he proceeds to sashay this kid underneath the speaker. Hey, kid doesn't blink.
Nope.
And by the way, there are babies everywhere. I wasn't the only baby I saw.
Everywhere.
There was also a guy who was standing up and he was holding up signs. And I didn't realize this, but I guess, you know, these are the regular wrestlers. It's not just some randoms that they get so they can have this event.
I mean, these people are so into it. I almost want to be them because they find so much pleasure in watching it and getting into it. I mean, I go to every Ravens game. I don't see anybody as excited as these people are. And it's Maryland Championship Wrestling. Like, it's local wrestling. And Justin, every time someone started talking or performing or they came out, I kept thinking, Justin could do this better. And then he's, you know, I think his storyline is Ryan McBride is the wrestler. It's a tag. This was like a tag team thing. So yeah. It's like teams. And Ryan McBride's partner got kicked out. That's the storyline here. And so Justin is the king's assistant or something.
Yeah, right. Something like that.
And he wears a neck brace and an eye patch, and he's this kind of like wormy sort of thing, and he hasn't been around for a while, and he comes back to help the king win, but he's in all black, covered his face, and people are chanting, "Who are you? Who are?" And he takes his stuff off. He has a fanny pack he brings around to the front. He puts on his eye patch. I mean, it's the funniest thing I saw the entire night. And I'm not just saying that because we know him. It was the best part of the night.
Well, clearly, yeah. And that's it.
Like, just make him a star.
Yeah,
this.
He's done. Right. He does that. He's literally up there for 90 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it's over.
He didn't even wrestle. I'm like, come on.
He said the next time he does it, he's going to have a much bigger role. So we're looking forward to that. But back to the guy who's standing up, holding up these signs. He's holding up a sign, making fun of a manager of a Maryland Championship Wrestler. That's what his sign says. Okay. So it's really it's a real guy because I see him. He keeps videoing himself. I don't know if he's Facebook living himself. You know, I mean, he's a real fan. He has the sign. The manager comes over, rips up the sign. You know what this guy does?
Pulls out another sign.
Pulls out another fucking sign. Pulls out another sign. He probably had, I don't know, Katie, 6 or 7 signs. He knew every wrestler.
He was like sign boy.
Yeah, but it was
inside.
Yeah, sorry. It was rest in peace, sign boy. So, yeah, but it was, you know what else? Which, you know, you and I, we need to pay attention to this. We walk out, every single wrestler that no one's ever heard of other than the 600, 700 people that are sitting in that room on those uncomfortable chairs in that hot flea market, all of them are selling t-shirts. Like, you can literally get a local flea market wrestler's t-shirt at this thing. I wish I bought one. That was probably a mistake to not get one.
I mean, there's too many to choose from.
Anyone.
You know what I would have gotten? Bruiser.
Yeah, so there's this, I guess he's a legend of some kind.
Yes, his name apparently.
Is it the Bruiser or is it Bruiser?
Just Bruiser.
Yeah. So the first thing is Katie, she got eagle eyes. She knew he wasn't going to wrestle. How did she know? Like, sometimes they're in there announcing their retirement and somebody comes up and attacks them in the ring. How did you know this guy was not going to be in a physical altercation?
He was wearing dress shoes.
No, that's a good guess. Nope. Marcus, do you have a guess?
Came in wearing a suit or something.
Mm-mm-mm.
He was wearing jeans, but he had his cell phone in his back pocket.
You could see the imprint of his cell phone in his back pocket, so we knew it wasn't going down. But this guy gets up there and he's like, yeah, you know, I can't do it anymore. You know, I got to keep my health and I got a family that I love. Chrissy goes, I got to be careful. I don't want this guy hearing me and trying to kill me. But he goes, yeah. He goes, I got these two beautiful kids at home. And also my girlfriend has two kids, which is kind of hilarious. Like, don't worry. Your next girlfriend will have less kids. You'll be fine. But anyway, he said he was retiring in order to spend more time with both his kids and his girlfriend's kids. However, don't worry. If you want to hang out with him, you could still join his wrestling school, which takes place right there at the flea market.
That's awesome.
But people were chanting, but it was uncomfortably long.
It was Ray Lewis long.
Yeah. I was like, you realize nobody, you walk literally a yard away from this place, nobody knows who the hell this guy is. And you guys are chanting nonstop for the Bruiser. But yeah, it was a blast, and he's wrestling again.
In November, yeah.
How many people did you say were there watching this?
Well, okay, that's what we said between 500 and 700 were there.
Wow.
And that's a lot of money that they bring in, but there's like 40 wrestlers. I mean, they never stop coming.
It's a hobby thing. You have to be interested in it. These guys aren't doing it for the money at all, and you can tell. They're not doing it for the money. They love it.
There was also chick wrestlers And the one chick's name, there was this huge black muscular chick. What was her name again?
Gia something.
Gia. But then there was this tiny redneck white chick. Clearly, if this was a real fight, this girl would just get destroyed by the other girl. Her name was Brittany Blaze.
Yeah.
If you want to look her up. But also, they have on the wall of the flea market, they have all the various events that have taken place in the past. Now, there was one event that was for a cause. You guys want to take another guess at the cause? If you can guess the cause, I'll give you the what the name of the event was. Can you take a guess?
No idea.
You don't want to try to guess an affliction?
I don't know how this got approved to be on a poster.
Well, they were trying to help with the autistic, okay? And the title of the event was Body Slam Autism.
Four. By the way, it's all said Body Slam Autism 4, meaning there were three other body slams of autism.
Can that be the episode name?
I mean, listen.
I guess.
Here's the deal. Obviously, autism is a very serious thing, and I'm not making fun of it, but like, what are you raising money for? Okay? You can't fix it.
Well, maybe it's just to have places for these. You know, like the Special Olympics, you can't fix what they have, but now they have a place to run around and jump.
But they're calling it Body Slam Autism.
Like, you want to like Body Slam the autism out of someone?
Correct.
It doesn't seem. It doesn't seem like you're right. That's
if it was Body Slam for autism.
I wonder if I'd be interested where the proceeds went. I wouldn't dare to question them.
No, who would do that?
But four times they try to body slam this condition and still around as far
still
as I know.
Still like one in four kids or something.
Yeah, well, maybe that's getting, things are getting way worse. But anyway, yeah, we're going to go see Justin again.
Yeah, shout out Justin.
In the not too distant future. When did he say he's wrestling again?
It's November 4th.
Yeah, so, well, it can't be. Because okay. November 2nd is the murder mystery, right? Or November 3rd?
I don't know.
November 3rd.
It's in November, I think.
I hope it's the second weekend.
Okay. Well, we'll take it off air.
Anyway, well, we got to wrap it up. And Katie just hired somebody to take our engagement photos.
Yeah.
And she's worried. What do you think she's worried about in these engagement photos? I know I'm making you guys guess a lot, but give me another idea why you think Katie might be a little bit concerned about these engagement photos.
That you look fat.
I'm not concerned about that.
Oh my God, that's cuts like a knife, but it feels so right. No.
No. Like dad is taking his daughter to the prom.
No. She would, if that was a problem, she probably couldn't do this, right? No. Good. I'm glad I asked you guys. No, she's afraid I'm gonna make a weird face.
Like a funny face.
That's a legitimate concern.
Yeah, every picture he takes, he tries to make some like oh, look at me face.
Why would you want to change him? You know what you're getting when you're marrying
him. I'm not asking
to change him.
I'm not asking to change him. I'm asking him to just stop for a little bit.
You know, I was looking at the engagement photos from this person, Sarah something or another. But I'm looking at the photos that she uses as an example, and I know full well I can't do what's in those, but I can't do it.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I'll do my best to try to do that.
You can do this one. You can do this one. You're just standing there. Just don't make a face and you're fine.
I have some insight into this, Katie. As the archivist of Joe's headshots, his best headshot ever, he's laughing in it. So if you can get Joe to legitimately laugh, he'll make a good face.
It's funny you say that because I was kind of teasing him that every time there's a picture, because ironically on Sunday morning, we had to wake up at the crack of dawn to meet my family in Annapolis to take family portraits with a professional photographer at this park. And every time he tends to take a picture where he's smiling, he makes himself laugh. And you can hear him laughing while he's posing for the picture, which I'm fine with. It's just kind of interesting that he is sort of making himself laugh so it looks like he's naturally laughing.
Yeah, that's because I don't know how to. Like, I watch my kids in pictures, and I'm like, God, they can't make a real face.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can I not do that?
Yeah, you can't.
So, I make a fake face, and I don't want to do that. So I laugh in order to do that. I remember I had headshots taken. This was probably back in like 2005, right, Robbie? Is that how long ago that was?
Yeah, roughly.
And I had them taken, and you know the guy who took them took 1,000 pictures. But then when I had to do the cover of my CD, Robbie found the worst of the 1,000.
That's not true.
And he put that on the cover of the CD. And I'm like, it's not like I have an arrow through my head. It's like, you know what I mean? There's nothing I'm doing that's going to look funny.
Well, Rob has the same problem, so.
Yeah.
He does. That's
a common problem, especially in the Robinson family.
Well, the picture should be affected then. You know what I mean? It should be a stylized picture. Rather, if I can't, like, you know, if I can't just look the way I would want to look on there, you know, and it looks just looks like a bad photo of myself.
Maybe just get yourself into character.
Hey, you know, Robbie, one time, two stories, and then we're going to go. Robbie, and this wasn't that long ago, Robbie got pictures taken of himself, just as his head.
I got the same guy who took your pictures to do, but that was about the same time you got those pictures taken.
And he got them, and he just gave them out to the family, like their high school photos.
Mm-hmm. What?
I did.
They have the picture of Robbie's just head from like, I mean, he's probably, how old were you, Robbie? Maybe 36, 37 years old? No. 2000.
It was earlier than that. It was, I want to say it was like 2002.
How come?
Because I wanted to have a nice picture of me for posterity.
Well, that's, okay.
I mean, there's got to be 1,000 pictures of you, right?
Yeah, but those are really good pictures.
Do you think I should do that? Do you think I should get those pictures taken?
No.
Because you got the same guy to take your pictures.
So I was telling
And you weren't successful.
Right. So I was telling them, well, I also wasn't in some controlled environment. It literally looked like an Olin Mills. This picture has the dark background. Robbie's in a studio. It's not like he's, I was out running around some farm. I don't know what the hell I was doing. Anyway, so tell me if you remember this, Robbie. This just occurred to me. So when Robbie and I, you might remember our age, Robbie, but we were living in Crownsville, and I believe we were probably like maybe 11 and 13. That's my guess at our age. And my father, and if he's in chat, Robbie, let's pull him up because I want to see if he has anything to say about this. So my father put together this point system. You remember this, Robbie?
Yeah.
Where we would have to do different chores and different things, and we could accumulate points. And then that point would then, those points would then buy us something.
I don't remember this.
So this is your, this story is going to come, you're going to remember it. So what I was going to go to was a Redskins football game. Okay. And I still remember who they played. They played the Minnesota Vikings. And I remember because it was a preseason game. That's what my father took me to when I accumulated enough points. And I don't remember how many it was, but it was a lot of fucking points to go to a shitty game.
Can we do that here?
Sure. What do I accumulate the points?
We both accumulate points.
Do we get to pick our own prize?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So I got to go to a Minnesota Vikings football game. Robbie got to go to West Virginia on a bus. Robbie's just ringing a bell. And the reason he got that trip paid for him is because he had a girlfriend there in West Virginia.
Oh, my God.
Okay?
I went on a bus?
So then Robbie gets on the bus, goes to West Virginia on the bus. I guess he's picked up at the train station by my aunt or uncle or whoever. Goes, his girlfriend has a new boyfriend. I even remember the name of the girl.
I do not remember this.
Do you want to know her name, Robbie?
I believe that this happened. I just don't remember, and I would prefer you didn't say the name.
I'm going to type it in chat, okay? Is that cool?
It's okay. I think I know the name.
Is that That's the first name. Look at the first name.
Is that really? No, I didn't go to West Virginia for that one.
Well, maybe it was a different person. But
yeah, it was a different person.
But that did happen.
How could
I believe
she,
that.
How could she have gotten a new boyfriend? Didn't she see the photos you got taken?
Hey, you know, it's funny. Back then, Robbie, you have to write a letter. I mean, how the hell could Robbie have even let this girl know he was coming? And that's what he did. And he got on the Greyhound, man. And just like the end of Midnight Cowboy, he was on his way.
I love that story.
Yep. It's almost as good. I had forgotten about that. I guess I had forgotten about it because my prize was so shitty. I'm like, man, it's a lot of work. I don't even remember who won the game. That's how bad it was.
Well, whose prize was shittier, yours or mine? Mine was way shittier.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. You didn't know it was shitty.
Yeah, you didn't know.
I'm saying mine was shitty from Jump Street. Yours was good at one point, at least. Who knows? And you could have been, yeah, you're probably, I'm thinking 13. I'm wondering if it, here's the thing about Robbie. If it's a different girl than the one I just typed in chat, he probably remembers the name.
Oh, I do remember the name.
Well, what is, type the first name in chat. Huh. I'm trying to see if
It was after. It was after that one. The first one you named.
Wait, let me see if I can see it.
I would not have made a special trip for the first one.
Brian.
So let me say this about the first one. Let me tell you another story. The first one that I thought that it was. The first one that I thought he went to the bus, on the bus to see. By the way, apparently the new boyfriend that she had was like the terror of the town. So Robbie had to basically hide the entire trip. Do you remember that, Robbie?
No, I don't even remember getting on a bus. I don't remember any of this. I believe that it happened, but I don't remember it.
So the other thing is that this one, the first one right here, the one I'm pointing to, maybe not even 10 years ago, I was at the Apple Butter Festival.
It was about 15 years ago. I do remember this.
And I went to the gas station, and there she was working the register. This one, the first one.
Yeah, Joe told me that. I never saw her. Thank God.
Did you pull out the picture that Robbie had done and give it to her?
I said, here's what you're missing. And I pulled out Robbie's headshot that he gave to the family. Anyway, all right, well, that's it. That's the show. How was it? Did we do a good job, guys?
Yeah, we got there.
Sorry, I guess we limped across the finish line. Robbie doesn't, he doesn't like me remembering those stories. Do you still think about that girl? Is that why?
No, I don't think about either of those girls.
Especially the one at the cash register.
Do you think she likes buffets?
No. Hey, do you ever masturbate to somebody making change?
Making change.
All right, well, that's it. Let me see what we got to promote. On October, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after that, we're going to be at the Bright Box Theater in Winchester.
With two shows.
The 13th, two shows. And then on the 28th, we're going to be at Magoobie's Joke House and then the DC Improv on Halloween, all to see the Halloween whodunit come to one of those shows. And Katie, do you have anything to promote?
No.
All right, that's it. Thanks, guys.